award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire. Welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I'm so delighted to be here with you today on Transformation Talk Radio. The Sandy Brewer Show is a call-in talk radio show, and every Thursday from 1 to 2 Pacific Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Time, we are all about getting to the heart of what matters in your life. You can also visit we can also visit my website at sandybrewer.com. And while you're there, sign up for my inspirational quote of the week. It's easy, it's free, and it's helpful. I've been a counselor in private practice for over 35 years, and I get to use my intuitive insights to help get to the core, the heart of whatever is happening in your life. Help us get this conversation started today by giving us a call, 800-930-2819, or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. Our mics are always open for you. No question or subject is off limits. 800-930-2819. And because life is actually about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers with an on-air question will receive an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. It's a compelling, inspirational memoir that's chock full of personal tools and positive reframing. Pursuit of Light has won 3 literary awards. Yay, we were really happy about that. And it's our thank you today for giving us a call. With me on air is my partner in all things wonderful, who also just happens to be my husband, John Brewer. Hi, John.
Here be I. Hi, Sandy. It's a delight to be here.
Thank you for laughing at my faux pas on Wizard.
Like the wabbit.
Exactly.
I don't know how many people remember that, but
I don't know.
The wabbit.
Right. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy you're here with me. We're going to have a good show today, and we'll have a lot of fun. One of the things, John, that we had planned to do in our little segment was to talk about the subject of victimization. But the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about boundaries and then especially forgiveness. And we've had a lot of feedback on that, and people having wanting extra dialogue and commentary on that amazing and broad subject of forgiveness. So we decided to start with that today. There's a couple of points that I wanted to emphasize. The first one actually is compassion. I really think we could talk about forgiveness for a year and not run out of stuff to talk about.
I would supply at least 6 months worth of material.
And I'll take the other 6. We are covered. Anyway, let's go to the idea of compassion is like that essential ingredient that we have to bring forward inside of ourselves in order to move anything into forgiveness. And then to also remember at all times that forgiveness is not actually something that we do for other people. They may benefit from it, but forgiveness is what we do for ourselves. It's the gift that we give for ourselves. It doesn't have anything to do with agreement. We can disagree with whatever action we had, or we may really disagree with the other person. So whether it's ourselves we're disagreeing with or the other person, that isn't what forgiveness is about. It's about going to that place where we're willing to let go of personalizing it, of staying wounded, where we're willing to go deep inside of ourselves and reach for the greater good. And in order to do that, have to have compassion for ourselves as the traveler, basically. And I'm asked on a regular basis, you know, okay, that sounds good. I agree with that in principle and philosophy. But how do we actually do it? How do we connect compassion with ourselves or others when it involves something that we really, really disagree with, something that was really, really wrong? How do we find that compassion with something or someone that hurt us so very deeply?
Well, I'd like to share something with you on that, okay. Sandy. When I was 28, I got a phone call that my brother, who was 4 years older than I, he was found in a cornfield. He'd committed suicide. And I was just flooded with emotions. I was anger and how could he do that? And why? I was so sad, and my mom was deeply hurt, and as was his family. And I had an overriding sense of guilt, a tremendous guilt. Even though we weren't very close, maybe there was something I could have done or said something that helped him get through what he was going through. But we never really shared very much. And I really didn't deal with my emotions at that time about the self-judgment. I just kind of stuffed them. And eventually, I came to a different perspective. I realized that both my brother and I grew up in a household. There was a lot of emotional abuse. It was a tough environment. And he was the one who was pretty much singled out. He got the brunt of it. And I was largely able to hide from it and avoid any confrontation. So confrontation was an enigma to me for many, many years. But what bothered me is I wasn't there to be supportive of him, either when I was a child or as an adult. But eventually, I grew to have some compassion for him because I realized a young boy in that environment and later on in his life as an adult, he was never really a very happy or a fulfilled man. I think a lot of it was just a carryover from what the home environment was. So it was a tough time for him. He was betrayed by his first wife and his best friend. He had turmoil in his subsequent relationships, a job that just drove him stressful out of his mind, I'm sure. But what I found was when I thought about it, I began to have compassion for a man who found life so unbearable that he took the only way out that he could think of. So it, for me, it was not knowing what to do or how to do it and learning to forgive myself. But it was that we both did the best that we could with what we knew at the time. And I was able to finally allow him, you might say allow him is a weird word, but to go on his journey. But what it allowed me, it allowed me to lay down that overwhelming sense of guilt that I was finally able to recognize, to stop acting out in my own life and gain some strength and perseverance with that. And in a strange way, I look at his being in my life was a gift. And unfortunately, the way that he departed this life in its own way was a gift too, because it brought me a greater sense of awareness of myself and of other people that I've known over the years. So that was my experience of coming to a place of forgiveness and compassion for each of us as we were learning to get through life.
I think that's really, of course, thank you for sharing that story, honey. But and I know that that's a difficult background and a difficult story, but I think there's wisdom in it for all of us, because if we can find, we have to start someplace. If we can find one corner where we can start to feel compassion, and that then you can bridge it, because in the way you related the story, that you couldn't find it for you first, but you began to see Ed in a different light, one that didn't have judgment, that didn't have limitations around it. And then it was easier for you to reflect that back to yourself, where you were in this case and perhaps other cases, holding yourself a little hostage to shoulda, coulda, woulda, what you should have done, instead of being able to release into the unfoldment of this life, the dealing with the great grief and the harshness of some of the experiences that we go travel through, and then still finding the amazing wisdom in it. And when we find the wisdom, that's the gift, and that brings the light back into us. I remember when your mother passed away, because your mother was a lovely, lovely woman, and she sure did try hard in her life and definitely did the best she could in difficult circumstances. when she was dying, and we did not live in the same area, and we flew to the hospital as soon as we got word. And I went into the room, and the hospital staff had not expected her to live through the night, to still be there by the time we could get there. And she had instead revived, you know, come back. And she looked at me and said, and because she had such guilt about Ed, that she talk about guilt, she was so guilty, but she could never let herself be supported in it. So she said to me, her first words to me when I walked in the room were, "It scared me to death." And I wanted to say, her name was Dottie, and she was lovely. I wanted to say, no, Dottie, it scared you back to life. Because what she had first met as she was leaving her body was her guilt. So she saw that in the form of Ed being angry with her. And that so terrified her that she popped right back into her body. And you and I spent the next day and a half being able to reassure her that she was loved, that she was, one, forgiven, and at the end of the day, there was nothing to forgive anyway. But it just is that amazing thing when we hold on to guilt, when we don't move it into the light of a greater point of view, of a greater love. Compassion is a key, maybe the key ingredient to love of others and love of ourselves. So when we move it into that place, we are actually shifting our whole reality, because reality isn't based on the data. It's based always on our point of view about the data. And so we can bring light to the most dire circumstances. We can bring light to the simple circumstances. We just have to remember that the light is, and we connect with it through the extraordinary, ever-growing, ever-present journey of forgiveness. You're listening to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We've got lots coming.
I invite you to come on into the reading room and pick up a book that you'll love. It's Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll find this book hard to put down, as Sandy shares the gripping story of her journey from childhood trauma to the empowered woman she is today. And like so many others, you'll find it to be one of the most inspirational books you've ever read. You'll love that it's filled with practical tools and ideas you can use to bring greater light and joy into your life. Get your copy by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Are you frustrated by what's happening for you around sex and relationships? Do you long for something different without knowing how to create it? Susan Lazar Hart of Right Relationship for You provides a fresh point of view and practical tools in a light, fun, funny, irreverent, and ultimately life-changing way. Get ready for a new possibility. Visit us at rightrelationshipforyou.com. That's rightrelationshipforyou.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B., Mastering the Art of Dream Building in the Real World. This hit show will inspire you to start painting the canvas of your life and bring your unique spirit and your amazingly intelligent mind together to find an incredible, practical, real-world strategy to building a life with epic results. Tune in to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B.
We would like to ask you to join Michael Shane and the Ascension Foundation in a special holiday giveaway. Throughout the year, the Ascension Foundation has sponsored a number of amazing healing events with Michael Shane and the Ascended Masters. With the help and support of those who participated, we raised $1,000 and want to give this to one special family this holiday season. We invite you to write in and recommend a family to receive this special gift. Please email us by midnight, Wednesday, December 19th. At info@michaelshane.com with your reason for nominating this family their contact information, and any other information that will help us with our decisions. A panel headed by the Ascension Foundation will select the family on Friday, December 21st. Again, that's info@michaelshane.com. That's info@michaelshane.com. For more information, you can also call the Ascension Foundation at 1-800-508-6437.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're getting to the heart of what matters in your life today. Give us a call, 800-930-2819, or go to thetransformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. We have a caller right now. Jack, how are you?
Good, Sandy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Tell me what's on your mind today.
Well, I'll tell you. I had a question that I was going to ask about forgiveness and so on and so forth. But after listening to John tell his story, my thoughts and everything went to a complete different place.
Okay.
So I am going to take this a little bit different direction than I had intended to.
Okay.
Guilt in respect to someone's death. And I've never been able to truly grieve my nephew's death now, and I'm going to try not to be emotional, but I don't know
it's
why
okay.
It'd be so hard. I had a 24-year-old nephew that I had went into business with, and he had always had a health problem with his heart, but he lived his life really, really full, and this has been just about 2 years, 2 months ago. And he had a procedure on his heart on the 1st of December of 2010. And he came out of the procedure fine. And he got the authorization to go back to work and so on and so forth. And then on December the 24th, he actually felt very good. I spoke to him in the morning, and I spoke to him about 11 o'clock, and by 1:30, he was in the hospital in intensive care, and he had passed away. They brought him back to life, and so at that point in time, he was in the hospital on the 24th, the 25th, and on the 26th, which would have been on the Sunday morning, I had stayed with him at the hospital a lot, and a lot of other family members that came. But being there and watching him and talking to him. Now, you know, when you talk to somebody that's in that state, you know, you always think, can they hear you? Can they, you know? And him and I talked a lot before this all happened. So, I mean, I knew his wants and needs very well. But come the Sunday, that Sunday morning, the hospital called me, the doctor called me and said, look, his vital organs, his body's starting to shut down. Well, we're going to have to make a decision whether or not to take him off life support or not take him off life support. Well, the truth is I come from an extremely dysfunctional family, and this decision was basically left up to me because of his father and his uncles and his grandparents that weren't strong enough to make a flat-out decision. So anyway, I made the decision at that point in time to take him off of life support. And I stayed with him the whole time that they took all the medical stuff off of him. They took the tubes out. They took the ventilator out. And then, boom, he passed away. I mean, it was a split second. I mean, when they took the ventilator out, I watched his heart rate you know, just
right
go down to nothing. And he was mm-hmm. gone. But ever since then, and I've worked on this many times, making that decision. There was a fellow not too long ago that was supposedly wasn't going to make it, wasn't, you know, going to be dead, was going to be a vegetable, and all those kind of things. And then, boom, all of a sudden, he miraculously comes out of that coma or whatever may be the case. I don't know the details of his deal. But the guilt, where I'm going with this, the guilt that I share with myself in respect of whether or not or I did or didn't make the right decision. Now, some days, I'm 100% sure I made the right decision. Then other days, I think about it when I see things like that, and then I question my decision, and mm-hmm. I do feel guilty thinking, but maybe did I play a role in terminating his life, not being fair about letting the nature take its course by leaving him on the life support. Maybe he would have came out of it. I know that he wouldn't have wanted to live like that, but you see these miracles happen. And, you know, you talk about people coming back from the dead and all kinds of different things. And the guilt that I take on or put on myself at that point in time can be unbearable.
Right. Okay. That's a really, it's a hard and a sad story to begin with, honey. But you are here with us. So you carrying that doubt is really a difficult, difficult place. If I heard your question right or your commentary right, your nephew, while being a young man, had this disorder or this malfunction physically all of his life or most of his life, and that you had a lot of conversations with him, so you knew exactly what he wanted. And would he have wanted to live from the conversations that you had with him? Would he have wanted to live in a vegetative or really debilitated state?
Neither.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't have wanted that from your conversations. So the place that you're not honoring is that, you know, if your family is dysfunctional and you and he were this connected, that some part of him must have trusted you with this information. And you're not, and your doubt takes you away from honoring, one, what you know, but two, the level of trust he put in you to take care of his wishes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I do. And I do know that he did. I mean, our relationship, he was more like a son or a brother mm-hmm. to me than nephew. Because we spent a lot of time together.
So the only one, perhaps, and this is what it sounds like, because they all turned to you to make the decision, that he ever had these kind of conversations with was you, right?
That's correct.
I mean, he didn't go to the other members of the family. He put his trust in you. He knew he was ill. You know, he knew that he had something major going on in his body, and he put his trust in you. Now, will you honor that you honored his trust? That release is forgiveness. Do you follow what I'm saying to you?
Uh-huh.
Tell me how you feel about it.
Well, I need to honor. So what you're saying is I need to honor the fact that he entrusted me with those wishes.
With such an extraordinary responsibility, and he trusted you. Do you know, he gave you the information. I think that he trusted you. And you honored his thoughts, his desires. If you knew he wouldn't want it to have lived in whatever kind of incapacitated state might have been available, but you would not have wanted him, he would not have wanted to be unable to function. He gave you that.
He
gave you that.
He would. I mean, so, he didn't even confide in his own father.
Exactly. So if you turn toward him and the memory of him and the understanding that his body couldn't sustain life anymore, but his spirit is still totally viable, totally present, and you salute him with, thank you for giving me that, that trusting me at that level so that I would be able to do what you needed to be done if that unfortunate circumstance happened. And while I grieve that you're gone, I honor that you trusted me, and I honor that I did for you what you basically asked me to do. On top of it, you weren't just guessing. You had a lot of medical input that said he's going to go, and it isn't like he lingered after life support was removed. He was clearly, from what I could hear, gone before the life support was removed.
Well, that's what I was informed. Yes, they had a neurologist come in. They had other things, you know. But I mean, the only reason I question it sometimes is because you hear the other stories on TV or whatever.
Yeah, those stories though usually involve, you know, and it doesn't. I understand what you're saying, but there's some place where there isn't that level of destruction already in the body, and usually those involve some kind of brain trauma. But he wasn't dealing with that.
No.
Yeah.
He didn't get hit on the head. He had some type of an arrhythmia that stopped his heart, and that was.
And that heart was already malformed, right?
That is correct. He'd always had a problem with his heart.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know, Jack, I have to take a quick break, but if you want to hold on, I'd be glad to talk with you in a couple of minutes. Do you have the time to do that?
Sure.
Okay, you're listening
Absolutely.
To the Sandy Brewer Show. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. We will be back with Jack and completing this. These are difficult subjects, heavy subjects that we're all going to face at some time or with some family members or some dear one, and getting to look to the heart of that matter right now and find the light in it. That's what we're all about, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back.
I invite you to come on into the reading room and pick up a book that you'll love. It's Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll find this book hard to put down as Sandy shares the gripping story of her journey from childhood trauma to the empowered woman she is today. And like so many others, you'll find it to be one of the most inspirational books you've ever read. You'll love that it's filled with practical tools and ideas you can use to bring greater light and joy into your life. Get your copy by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for the Sandy Brewer Show.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often, but when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative, broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you lighter. Puts the fever higher.
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're all about getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. We are on the phone with Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Okay, so that was interesting music compared to, you know, in connection with what we talked about. It's kind of ironic. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But it took me to a place in as I was reviewing some of the things you said about your nephew, was that you talked to him just a couple hours on December 24th before he passed, you know, for all practical purposes, passed away. And in that time, I'm assuming that when you talked to him on that day, he was upbeat, right? When a few hours before his death, he was upbeat. He was living in the positive, right?
Extremely upbeat, and he was very happy.
So in spite of,
he was probably happier that morning than he had been in a long time. I mean, sincerely happy. He had a little bit of a bad habit of masking his feelings, but that day when I spoke to him, he was
good, right? And so you look at this and you say, hey, here's a body that could no longer sustain life. You weren't in charge of that. Actually, your nephew wasn't in charge of that. There's a greater picture here that's in charge of that. And in his last hours, he was happy. And when his body could no longer sustain life, he died without any pain and without any trauma. And he put the responsibility to make sure nobody put him in pain and extra trauma, he put that in your hands, basically. And so you have this place of what's the gift here? That this is a heavy subject, and yet life has some heavy moments, and nobody leaves this plane without leaving a gift. What's the gift here? He was happy. He was pain-free in that day. He was in a celebratory mood in that day, and he trusted his uncle in that day. And so the gift that he left you, Jack, was what?
He was extremely at peace. I know I do.
You know what I think the gift was, Jack?
What's that?
I was on this one and I trust when I pick something up, but I was on this about how much he trusted you, and maybe the gift that he left you was the reflection of trust yourself.
Maybe that's what I need to do a little bit more. Probably
exactly. Maybe
take away that,
him leaving you with this level of responsibility, that it was so that you would dig deeper and deeper until you finally got out of doubt and insecurity and started to trust a man named Jack. And that's one. That's a hell of a gift to be left with, darling. Do you see?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
So that was
a hell of a gift. Yep.
every time doubt comes up, and this is true for any of us, and when we're talking about release and we're talking about forgiveness and we're talking about expanding into the promise of life, the promise of light, that every single time doubt comes up, the fact that it comes up is never the problem. What we do with it is always going to be what creates our reality. So when you start to go into self-doubt, if you can remember it was Christmas Eve, what was the gift? He did not leave without a gift. The gift was, he left us at such an early age. He left you, put in your hands, the gift and the pathway to guide you into self-trust. And you have to, every time doubt comes up, you have to answer doubt with a greater point of view. And I think if you'll absorb this concept of the gift, that when you think of him, you won't keep thinking of him with that doubt and that sorrow and that loss, but instead you'll remember the gift that he gave you and how that fit into his personality and his own style. And you'll be able to have a smile across your face and say thank you from your heart. And the two of you are joined once again. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do very much so.
How do you feel about what we said?
I feel very good about it. What I'll do is I think I'll make a little mantra about that. And when I do take myself to that place, and I can just use the words of he trusted me and I trust myself, and then we'll just go on from there. And I think that'll help me immensely.
Exactly. And that's the gift he gave you. And I love the idea of making a little card. I think note cards are really essential, because when we get into the conundrum and all of that chemical soup of doubt and judgment, we really can't, we can't access the part of our brain that has the greater thought. So if you've got this little kind of cheat sheet note card and you pull it out of your wallet or you take it out of your glove compartment or wherever, and you go, okay, this is what I'm going to read, and I'm just going to sit here and repeat it. It doesn't matter if I can feel it right now. Here's my words. Here's my mantra. I'm just going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And what will happen in that, just in those few seconds while you're saying that and doing that, is your whole body will start to slow down. And the chemistry that caused you to go into a very quick and temporary hormonal imbalance will also slow down. The body will rebalance itself because we got out of the way and just put our focus someplace else, some good place else. And then you can come back to where you will feel it, not just say it. Do you understand?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You were a great caller. You added a whole lot to our show today and to everybody who was listening. John?
Wow, I'm so glad that Jack called. I think he touched a nerve in me. And I think he offered a gift to all of those who are listening today to really be able to reach in to the depth of themselves and find the trust that they deserve, that they have earned by being here, and for the gift that they can give others. I was really moved, as you can tell.
I love that. And you know what's beautiful for both of you, because it is harder often for men to be able to allow emotion and to reflect emotion at that level. And I salute you, Jack. And of course, John, I salute you. I hear and I can actually look and see how deeply you were touched. But it also reflects back to what you were talking about at the beginning of our show with Ed, and you having to find your brother and having to find compassion for why he did what he did, and then compassion for you, and then understanding it in context of the entire situation of your early life, just as Jack now is taking an opportunity to understand what he had to do in context of the whole situation of not only himself, but what was given to him by his nephew, and that he had the courage to take charge and create a shift. That's a good thing. Jack, if you're still there, thank you very, very much. I think Jack's gone.
I think so. So grateful he called with his gift. You know, Sandy, one of the things that I was so moved by was when I watched you create an extraordinary path of forgiveness. When the man who had raped you repeatedly, who fathered the child that died later in your arms, when he died, the forgiveness, the pathway to forgiveness that you found, could you share that with us to help us understand that a little bit better?
Absolutely. First, I'm going to identify the man was my father. So, but he was a very obviously distorted individual, and he was also very sadistic. So his abuse was cruel at every level and in so many ways. And, earlier years ago, we had a large farm. And we did a children's program, a program for abused and traumatized kids, and brought them in from different parts of the country to give them an experience of forgiveness, of healing. And it was at that time that I learned that my father, at the age of 70, had died instantly in a head-on collision. And I remember I had a close girlfriend. He'd said, "How can that be? That's so wrong. He should have had to stay and suffer, you know?" And I said, "No, that's not what it's all about." But I had to find a way to release and to relate. So what I did is I went back into a very wooded part of the property and went deep into the woods and sat under a tree by myself. And I contemplated my father and his life. And the only way I could move into a place of blessing was to think of him as a little boy. And I thought, as a little boy, as a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, I know that no little boy ever thinks of himself as growing up to be a rapist and a predator and such a distorted human being. So I went back to a time of innocence. And from that place, I could have that major C word. I could have compassion. And from that place of compassion, that whatever he became, it was not his earliest dream. And in that compassion, I was able to release him to his greatest and highest good and remove myself from the picture and not need any compensation about it, but just let him move, be blessed and released to that place where I think he was probably in remedial ed. On the other side, I think there's a little institution for that, but at least that grace could ultimately perhaps come to him if such would be his choice, although it didn't, wasn't his choice on this plane. We have to take a break right now, but we will be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us, 800-930-2819. This is the Sandy Brewer Show.
I invite you to come on into the reading room and pick up a book that you'll love. It's Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll find this book hard to put down as Sandy shares the gripping story of her journey from childhood trauma to the empowered woman she is today. And like so many others, you'll find it to be one of the most inspirational books you've ever read. You'll love that it's filled with practical tools and ideas you can use to bring greater light and joy into your life. Get your copy by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for the Sandy Brewer Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
The Michael Shane Show, conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk, radio.com, on the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live, on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit michaelshane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, shane.com. Or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're so happy that you're with us today. And even though we've been talking about heavier and more challenging subjects today, just that message of it's going to be a good life, that's all about attitude. We get to choose how we're going to end up framing the stories of our life and learning that our experiences are not who we are. They are only places through which we travel. So every time we look for the gift, not in denial of how we feel, but in going for the greater good, that no circumstance, no situation is greater than the core of who we are. John, Joseph Campbell, this quote is what I started Pursuit of Light with, my book. And it is, his quote is, the black moment is the moment when the real message of transformation is going to come. At the darkest moment comes the light. So the light, we always look for the gift, and that's going to make a difference as to how we frame and relate to the passages through which we've traveled.
Sandy, you're really good at coming up with a list of steps that one can take. What are some that you'd recommend for working with forgiveness and reframing and letting go?
The first one is you have to start where you are. A lot of times people want to start where they think they're supposed to be. Oh, I'm supposed to have a loving thought. I'm supposed to not feel hateful. I'm supposed to care. Do you know? But if you don't care, that's not where you start.
Absolutely.
So you start where you are. Emotions, the emotions that we have, it's not about right or wrong. It's what we do with the emotion that's going to create how we experience this current reality. So a lot of people get scared when the emotion comes up. If it's negative, I'm doing something wrong, I'm going to get hurt here. If you get attached to the negative emotion, then you will get hurt there. But if you just keep an open palm and go, okay, that's just, an emotion, it doesn't necessarily hold truth. And I'm going to acknowledge it without guilt or judgment. Now, the key is I'm going to, number two, make a choice about the emotion because it doesn't hold truth. It's like I said to Jack, it's the equivalent of chemical soup. And the probability, if it's really connected to something, if we're really getting caught in it, the probability that it has that particular emotion has an origin at an earlier time in our life, that probability is close to 1,000%. So we need to know that it isn't, that the emotion isn't about my identity, because the past isn't about my identity. And the power of choice is what's at play here. We can choose whether or not to stay in a victim, which we're going to talk about next week, by the way. We can choose whether or not to stay in pain, it doesn't mean that if you're in pain and you're suffering and you're having to go through a process that you're doing something wrong. But the courage is to keep re-choosing, to keep reaching for that thought greater than the circumstance, greater than the fear, greater than the doubt, and to hold that as an absolute truth. For me, I don't know how to do this with all the things that I've experienced in my life, and they were horrific. With all the things that I've experienced in my life, I don't know how to do this without reaching for a spiritual point of view. Everything is spirit, but reaching for it consciously. And so for me, I reach for things like, I am one with a goodness that has no opposite. Nothing stands between me and my good. Nothing stands between me and my God. It brings me to, and this is my language, find the language that's right for you. It brings me to this concept of nearer my God to thee. Whatever it is I'm experiencing, bring me all the way home. All the way home to me and that which I am at my core. And then there's the third thing I would put in here is hang on. Don't give up. There is no, you know, you just stick with it. How long is it going to take? It takes what it takes. And if I hadn't lived through this, I would not think that I had the right to say this, but I have lived through it. And I know that you have to hang on, that on your worst day, you have to still, no matter what you feel, you have to say, I'm not going to give up. You have to be tenacious. What I know absolutely is that we are so worth our own effort. One of the great teachers for me was actually Camus, a statement that I held dear in the years when I was working so hard to get past the pain. And the quote is, in the midst of winter, I have found within me an invincible summer. And that's the thing. It's not like you can feel it when you're in pain, but you have to cling to, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm about. Somehow, some way, that invincible summer shows up for me. And what I know, having lived this, what I know, having walked this walk, and the first 35 years of my life, which were really tough, having walked that walk, I know that that invincible summer exists. It's already here. We just have to cling. This is a place where we use will, where we tighten our little fists and we hang on for dear life, because this is what will change our life. And then for your sake, for your body's sake, for God's sake, breathe. You know, the human body is designed to breathe in and breathe out at all times. So when we contract, when we're feeling lost, when we're feeling tightened and we can't let go, when we stop breathing, so consciously breathe. The light is always greater than the dark. We are forever beings. We are one with all that is, and it is one with us. In the midst of those harsh, barren moments when we can't find the light, in the midst of that challenge, our prayer, our affirmation is bring ourselves all the way home to us. And at the end of the day, forgiveness is totally, completely, absolutely about love.
Wow, that's fantastic, Sandy. Thank you for sharing that. And thanks to you listeners for joining us today for another episode of the Sandy Brewer Show. As always, we're about taking your calls and getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Our mics are open and no subject is off limits. Next week, we'll include a segment on how to never, ever see yourself as a victim again. Wow, you got to listen to that. So listen in and call with your question or email it to sandy@sandybrewer.com. The Sandy Brewer Show airs every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 to 5 Eastern, on the web at Transformation Talk Radio and 1230 WBLQ in Westerly, Rhode Island. We invite you to sign up to receive your free inspirational thought for the week by going to sandybrewer.com. Please know that we respect your privacy and will never share your email information with anyone. A special thanks to engineers Chris and Brian for their help today, and may you all have a fantastic week. Take care.